Lucas on Life.
Hello, welcome to Lucas on Life here on Premier Christian Radio. I'm Jeff Lucas, and tonight I'd like us to talk about changing and growing in faith. Put simply, if we walk daily with Jesus, change in us is not just likely, surely it's inevitable. Often Christians talk about what we've been saved from, but sometimes not enough about what we have been saved for. Many Christians can describe the four steps that we need to take to be saved from our sins and born again, but considerably fewer can talk anything like so clearly about what we're saved for, less how to live in that reality. A cynic once said, "A Christian experience is an initial spasm followed by chronic inertia." So we need to ask the question, are we stuck or are we changing? The Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthians, used words that described gradual but radical change to portray the normal Christian life. He says in 2 Corinthians 3, "We are being changed to become more like him so that we have more and more glory." In that verse, Paul uses the word metamorphosis to describe what God wants to do in our lives as he does the work of changing and shaping us, and as we cooperate with that process. For us, change is progressive, and yes, it takes a lifetime. And the plan is that we become glorious for his glory. Paul coins the same word as he teaches the church in Rome about being transformed by the renewing of our minds. We read about that in Romans chapter 12. Gradual, glorious change. That's God's plan for you and me. But just saying that brings a challenge. Recently, I've celebrated over 50 years of being a follower of Jesus. I can hardly believe that it was five whole decades ago that I wandered into a little Pentecostal church in Barking in Essex, henceforth known as the Barking Pentecostal Church, and there heard the good news for the first time from the lips of a long-haired, cravat-wearing evangelist called Eric Delve. 50 years later, everything is different. Back then, there was really no gospel music industry to speak of. And then there wasn't too much cooperation between churches, except whenever Billy Graham flew in. Now, so much has changed, and I've changed too. An expanding waistline, receding hairline, I've been around the block. Being a Christian so young provided its crises as well on my darker days. Now I'm a different person from the naive, politically innocent type of person that I was back then. I no longer think that sharing my faith is about a scripted, breathless monologue. I no longer dance during worship sessions to unaccompanied acoustic guitars, and the tambourine is no longer my preferred choice of instrument. No offense. I no longer wear the huge wooden cross that I used to sport. In fact, my neck is crossless, my lapel is badgeless, and even my car is without a fish symbol, all of which means that I am no longer confused with being an evangelical door-to-door salesperson or a member of the Grimsby Fish Friars Association. But in the midst of all of this change, here's a question that I'm wrestling with. While everything has changed outwardly, how much have I changed and grown inwardly in my heart, my character, my love for Jesus and others? So, let's talk about change and specifically growing in faith. This is Lucas on Life. You're listening to Premier Christian Radio, and we're talking about change and growing in our faith. It usually happens around the new year when we ponder potential resolutions because we want to change. I went easy on myself when New Year hit at the end of last year. Rather than aspiring to lofty, impossible goals, I settled on some more reachable objectives. So my resolutions for the year are, I'm cutting back on my bassoon playing, I'm not going to speak Cantonese for the whole year to come, and I will diligently eat plenty of chocolate. As a non-musical chocolate lover who's never owned a bassoon and who only speaks English, I have a moderate chance of success. And then I decided to change my name to Popeye, as in the Sailor Man. Now, Popeye, as most of us know, is a cartoon character, a product of the 1930s. But played by Robin Williams in the movie version, he has a gruff voice, a clay pipe, and a passion for a young lady called Olive Oil, who looks like a stick insect with her greasy hair pulled back into a missionary bun. Popeye could do most things, especially when he ate spinach. With his piston-like muscles and that versatile pipe which could even propel him into space, he was a sailor savior, rescuing Olive and occasionally the world from all manner of calamities. But there was one thing that Popeye just could not do. He could not be other than what he was. He could not change. He even sang a lament about it, a serenade to sameness. I am what I am, and that's all I am. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man, he sang. The reason for me changing my name? It's simple. I've realized that I have largely stopped changing. Over 4 decades of pastoral leadership has taught me this rather unpalatable truth. People rarely change. That includes Christians. Now, I know that statement, it's the opposite of the Christian message, which is not just about a few minor behavioral amendments here and there, but the birth of a whole new species of humanity as the newly created person in Christ, fueled by the indwelling Spirit, becomes more Jesus-like, gradually and ultimately, when eternity dawns. But the cold fact is this. Perhaps too many of us have turned into old dogs who aren't too keen on learning new tricks, or leopards that aren't thrilled about losing those spots. Now, that's not to say that we never did change or grow. Conversion brings new values and therefore revised behavior. In the flush of enthusiasm spawned by first love, we breathlessly abandon old patterns of life. But some of it is only skin deep. As new Christians, we hastily trawl through our lives, declaring war on the more obvious, lurid behaviors, which we rightly judge as being incompatible with being a Christian disciple. But, having tamed the bigger beast, we can settle down, stay as is, and wait for the sound of a trumpet, when everything will be changed in a moment. But in the meantime, not much changes in a decade. What was fluid turns solid. Fresh turns stale. We get weary of the call to endless revising, the preacher's shrill challenge for yet more amendment and deeper commitment. Well, it starts to wear us out. And then some of us can live secretly, bound in chains of addiction, advertising freedom, while in reality we languish in the cell block. But even though this is not how we're called to live, the hows and whys of change are difficult to quantify. As a preacher, I so desperately want to offer 7 surefire steps to transformation, preferably beginning with the same letter. But this much I know. Change begins with renewed thinking. It's not just about scrubbing up on the outside. Scripture views change as something positive. We tend to fuss about what we're not rather than dream about who we're becoming, subtraction rather than addition. But we are being transformed from glory to glory, says Paul, who himself experienced personal revolution. We tend to focus on the pruning, but the Spirit is about producing rich, luscious fruit. And of course, change results from the supernatural inner work of the Holy Spirit in us. True change, well, it's a sign and a wonder. As we continue forward with our lives, let's know that change is not only possible, but if we follow Jesus by faith today, it's inevitable. I know, I said that earlier, but I think it's worth repeating, because perhaps that truth will allow us to swing a sledgehammer at the hopelessness that can stop us in our tracks, and we can see a crack appear in the solid mold of what we are as we do so. We can change. And so I've decided against that name change. Popeye Lucas just sounds so wrong. And wrong it is. We're talking about change and growing in faith. And perhaps it's worthwhile talking about what we don't want to become. As the man came striding towards me, I sighed, resigned to what was to come. It was time for my weekly rebuke. When he started attending the church that I was pastoring, I'd initially been impressed. He certainly knew his Bible well, and his conversation was liberally sprinkled with quotes from classic Christian books. He faithfully attended our early morning prayer meeting, held as it was at such an unearthly time when angels were likely to still be sleeping, if angels sleep. But as time went on, I noticed some worrying trends developing. Undeniably passionate about his faith, that passion morphed into rather unnerving intensity. Ill at ease with laughter, the furrows on his brow deepened because for him, any fun was frivolous. His attendance at that prayer meeting fueled disdain for those who didn't show up. He eagerly lamented what he viewed as their lukewarm spirituality. And now his body language was a chilling reflection of an increasingly superior attitude. He'd sit arms folded tight through my sermon, his posture screaming, "I'm getting nothing out of this and this teaching isn't sound." Those locked arms only unfolded when he scribbled notes furiously, which were then to be used as evidence for the prosecution when confronting me with news of what I should and shouldn't have said. Mostly, I was regaled with his demand that the teaching be deeper. To this day, I flinch when I hear that deep word in church. Teaching, of course, needs to have substance, but some Christians think teaching is only deep if they don't understand a word of it. They beatify bewilderment. Not much more than 30, he insisted on wearing a suit on Sunday. Armed and dangerous with his notebook, I felt a mixture of sadness and repulsion as he approached. His faith seemed to be strangling him like a severely knotted tie. And I knew that I definitely didn't want to be like him. If this was growth and maturity, well, I didn't want it. And he was such a contrast to the newer Christians in our church, with their unspoiled simplicity and openness. We Christians crave spiritual maturity. We want to grow in our faith. As a new believer, I found myself surrounded by beautiful, seasoned souls who had grown because they'd weathered countless storms. Their wisdom, it was winsome, their smiles were warm, and I so wanted to be like them. Of course, there were a few exceptions, crusty finger pointers who demonstrated the truth that being long in the tooth doesn't guarantee tenderness of heart. But they really were the exception. And although faith was so new to me, I quickly discovered the biblical call to maturity, the call that we all grow up in Christ. Looking back on my Christian journey, I confess that my progress in personal growth has been mixed, to say the least. I envy those disciplined saints who briskly march up the mountain of maturity with barely a break in their step. My own Christian walk has been more of a stagger. Over 50 years on, I still fall asleep when I pray, occasionally wonder if there's even anyone to pray to, and like an adolescent fighting pimples, I experience sudden outbreaks of immaturity for which there seems to be no cure. But I also woke up early to the uncomfortable truth that walking the Christian pathway for a good while doesn't mean that you'll be good company or, for that matter, a well-rounded, loving person. If in doubt, consider the Pharisees, a pack of zealots who prayed for 3 hours a day and were proven by a year of probation. They were able to blether on endlessly about minutiae, yet had great talent for noticing gnats and swallowing camels. I want to grow in faith, but I don't want to grow into being a Pharisee. As the late, great Eugene Peterson put it, the greatest errors in the spiritual life are committed by those who are adept at the spiritual life. The greatest capacity for self-deceit in prayer comes not in the early years, but in the middle and late years. And so, thinking about growing in faith, I still have much to learn, but this much I know. When asked what I want to be when I'm all grown up, I'd like to ignite a smile rather than a sigh when I approach people. I want to be the old guy who's kind, frequently laughs out loud, and carries a bag full of chocolate treats for those lovely children to junior church on Sunday mornings. Come to think of it, I'd like to be more like those giggling little ones, childlike but not childish, silly but no fool, still thrilled by grace and gracious with it too. I'd like to keep growing. This week, let's ask the Lord to work in us by the power of His Holy Spirit, that we can keep growing, changing, knowing Him more, loving Him more, and passing that love around. See you next time.
Lucas on Life.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.